I must have acted up. It's going to be the adult supervision.
Todd Bright?
Here.
David Byers?
Stuart Brunner for David Byers.
Eddie Cook?
Here.
Peter Graves?
Here.
Dan Mazzola?
Here.
Thank you. Gilbert Artania?
Here.
Michael Dobb?
Here.
Welcome. Morgan Reed?
Here.
David Stevens?
Here.
Gordon Wishon?
Here.
J.R. Sloan?
Here.
Senator Don Shooter? Richard Stabnia?
Rebecca Ferrer here for Richard Stabnia.
Thank you, Rebecca. Representative Dave Stevens. And we do have a quorum.
Okay. Is there no news? Well, actually, we do have news. I'm sorry. We have a new member to join us. Michael Dobb, thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. Next up, we have review of our meeting minutes. I think we had some, there was a noted item where I believe it was the fourth item on the agenda.
I love Stuart. All his red marks on it.
Did it in red for you too, so you
I think
feel
we had
like
an item that was noted that required some conditions that were actually not stipulated.
Yes.
Wasn't the fourth item on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay, so the amendment would be to strike the noted as being tasked with conditions as no conditions were applied to that.
Yes.
So just tasked with conditions.
And the remaining changes are editorial in nature.
Okay.
Yes.
Which I've already handed over to Jane.
Thank you.
All right. Nothing material you think we need?
That was material, but
okay.
Nothing.
All right, with that one change, we'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Move to approve minutes of the last meeting.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. With that, we'll move on to our first and will be our last. This will be the Mark Masterson show today. There are three items on the agenda from education, but there is one presentation because these are all elements of a single program within education. So if you're going to lead us through the presentation, we will come back around to review and vote on each of the items. And at that point, there'll be a summary slide that they put together to help kind of refresh us and focus us on the item that we'll be looking to vote on. So with that, I'll turn it over to Yvette and James.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Yvette Villanueva and this is James Dean. We're ADOA Asset Engagement Managers. We work with the Arizona Department of Education on these PIDGE amendments. So I will let the actually member of the Department of Education introduce himself.
I'm Mark Masterson, the Associate Superintendent of Information Technology.
Thank you. So Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, every fiscal year, the Arizona Department of Education comes to ITAC to move forward with their Arizona Education Learning Accountability System program, known as ALIS. ALIS, is that right? Thank you. Today, we'll be reviewing amendments for three projects within ALIS program, which will be reviewed in the presentation. The first project is ED14002. It's the A-List School Finance and SAES Payments, CSF. This project was approved to develop and implement a set of integrated components designed to provide a data flow between the student accountability information system and the school finance classroom site fund payment stream. The second project is ED14005, A-List SIS opt-in. This project was approved to implement a statewide student information system for use by local education agencies across Arizona. And later, an amendment was approved to continue supporting the local education agencies that were seeking to transition. And then the third one, and the final one that we'll be looking at, is ED15004, the A-List Arizona Education Data Standard Project. This project was approved to standardize and operationalize the Student Transaction Operation Data Store, OTS, for state reporting. So ASSET is recommending that these projects be approved, some with conditions which we can review after the presentation. I'll turn this over to the Arizona Department of Education at this time to present additional information regarding the proposed solutions and answer any questions you may have. Mark?
Thank you so much for the introduction. Mr. Chairman, Morgan, and members of this committee, I've been coming here, I think, for 4 years, or maybe five. For those that have known me, and I look around the room, there's, except for a couple, there's a lot of new faces. So if there are questions, because I'm pretty excited to talk about what we've accomplished, but you wouldn't know where we were, that makes it less exciting, because you're just going to see where we've come, where we're at today. Having said that, priorities for FY 2017, and to remind this organization that our guidance is ARS 15249, which required the Department of Education to replace SAES and deploy dashboards to everybody in the state. The dashboard deployment's done and completed. SAES is very complex. A $6 billion accounting and finance system. Close to half the state budget runs through this system, and the complexity of making sure that it's auditable. So I gotta give some history. Upon Superintendent Hubenthal at that time, in 2011, Governor Brewer recommended that we review and outsource everything in education because it was so messed up. We couldn't pay people. It was months before they were borrowing money from banks just to pay their teachers. So that's how bad it was. No controls, no systematic processes or procedures. And so the challenge was coming from that 5 years ago to where I am today. So just to baseline where we're at. And with the support with the legislature, the governor's office, and the superintendent, we have continued to deliver everything that we've have been asked to each year. There's been a lot of complexity that I did not foresee 3 years ago. I come from where some of you come from private industries, that's where I came from. And this project to me was a 2-year project. That's obviously changed in my mind because of their picture. I have 650 local education authorities. Consider them as franchisees. They can operate on their own and they can do what they want, local control, but yet I have to figure out how to pay them accurately and concisely through a specified methodology, which I'm going to discuss in this briefing today. The complexity is that I have 650 franchisees that don't necessarily want to sit in the same sandbox. And the challenge is no different than any other agency that has that large of constituents. They have 75,000 teachers, 1.2 million students. So it's a pretty large, ambitious project that I'm proud to have been able to lead. So SAES And a lot of this I wouldn't have done if I'd known that everybody was here, but I want to make sure you're aware of what I'm talking about as I move through this. SACE has two components. SACE is the student component and the finance component. All we are talking about this year is completing the student component, sunsetting legacy student SACE, and starting to gain requirements on the finance component. There was a law that was passed last year called current year funding, which made us have to touch some of the finance component this year. For those who don't understand how education is funded, districts are funded on prior year funding up until the next, until July, which means that whatever their 100-day average was in February or March, depending on when they hit 100-day, that was the amount that they were paid for this year, the second year. So charters were always paid on real. And we have a lot of charters, as you're aware, in our state. Our state is probably the most complex state in the union on education policy and procedure. This year, they're not exact or identical. However, in 17, they're going to be current year paid for districts, which added complexity again in this year because we have to plan and implement that change. So this, starting to the briefing, priorities for our 17 is complete student SACE replacement and decommissioning. I got to be clear on what decommissioning equals. Until I have the 915 process, which is a debit and credit of prior year, because this state allows you to adjust students 3 years. That's pretty unique, but that's what the state's law is. So currently that process is in SACE, the 915. So imagine a bank, the bank does debits and credits based on a balancing of your income statement, really based on a prior year finding by an auditor. So SACE will still have to exist for 3 years because I have 3 years of changes. This year's scope is to scope out 915 for AZEDS, which is the replacement of SACE student. So as I throw acronyms at you, I'm sorry. But AZEDS is the replacement of SACE student, and I'll be using AZEDS a lot. APORT CHAR will not be completed in FY17, and it's based on the budget constraints that I was given, and I'm not knocking whatever the funding that is provided. I'm satisfied, and we post forward, but with a certain amount of money, I can do a certain amount of work. And another complexity is, we'd ask for support cost money, and you'll hear that as I go through this. Because if you build a system that's $32 million, so $36 million total spend, you have to support that system, and there's a cost that should be incurred. And what I've done and proposed in this meeting is to, based on the $7.3 million that they gave me, that I'll take the support of the system off the top. And whatever's after that, and I'll discuss that through that, will be the build portion. We will be proposing over the next year with the legislature and the governor's office another model in order to ensure support for this system. The sustainability of the system is critical. It pays $6 billion. It should be auditable, sustainable, and maintained. And that's not part of this agenda, but that's what we'll be proposing. So the second step is build internal connections to AZEDS to reduce burden on LEAs. In our building, we have 250 databases that are in stovepipes. None of the databases talk to each other. We change files. So if you ask me how many students I have last year, you could get 10 different answers. Starting July 1st, you get one answer, because that's one of our accomplishments, and I'll talk about that, because we have an operational data store where there's only a source of truth. But when I have an operational data store, I have 250 databases. I have to move their pointer from those databases to the operational data store, and that's what that means, is moving their pointer of where the data was to the old data, sunset the old data stores, change the application in order to accept that new data, and so that the business can continue to run. While I'm doing that transition, I had to build a pipe, a bridge, to keep the legacy data sources
maintained from the operational data store. If there's not any questions, I'll keep proceeding. Third, ensure proper support and management of the overall project. As you understand, a project this complex requires project management, requires a lot of reporting. The department has internal reporting mechanisms, external reporting mechanisms, to this committee, to the JLBC, to the governor's office, and that requires a certain amount of staff. Plus, we have to communicate with over 650 LEAs, so we have a communications team. We have to financially account for all this money very tightly. The one thing that I'd be very proud of to represent my team on is that for the money that we have spent and what we've delivered, and I hope those that have come from a solid IT foundation, I would say that I would have spent three times this money to do it in 2 years. But because we've been slow and purposeful, we were able to do it under the budget that we were given. Because yes, you could go faster, but usually when you go faster, you spend more money. And then normally in the private world, you go fast because the competition's going fast and you gotta keep up with them. In this world, it's not so drastic. However, I need to point out that SACE blue screens five times a day, every day, the existing system. It's built in Windows 2000. It's VB6. It's not supported. Microsoft said they, if it dies, 10 million to come revive it. Because they don't even have people to do this anymore. So I just want to point out that we do have a sense of urgency because this system is on its deathbed. It is over 12 years old, 13 years old. 2001, I think, is when it went into production, so it's even, we're almost 50, we're 15 years. Boy, did we milk that system. And then continue implementation of an opt-in tools to interested LEAs, which is our statewide SIS. I'm very proud to say that I very much appreciate the legislature, this membership here, in the support of that. Our first year, we implemented, we did two major things. One, we implemented 48 LEAs with our statewide SIS, which lowered the price. Number two, we drove a market competition, which made the other vendors in our state, there's 13 that are certified in our state, I'll talk about that, lower their price to compete. I won either way. My whole purpose was not to run an SIS. My whole purpose was the LEAs were paying too much money, and then we lowered their prices, which is a win-win for us in the state and us taxpayers. I went too far. So in discussing the program support office and the production services, this will be the allocations that we've asked for you to approve today. The program support, I'm not going to read this slide to you. It's the same things that you would expand in any program support office of this size. The production services is obviously, we do use Azure. So this whole system was built into the Azure, Microsoft's cloud. And that has been, and there's been challenges and opportunities. People would have asked, why did you use the cloud? And I'll give the perfect example of what just happened this about 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, when we all of a sudden doubled our student count coming through the pipe, the system, you know, the pipe's this big and there's that much data, it sort of slows down. And I was able to, within 30 minutes, double capacity. In our old world of data center management, I would have to order servers. I would have to get those servers configured, get them set up, and moved. To me, this is the smartest decision we ever made, is to move to the Azure cloud. And also, we did compare AWS, because the Department of Administration uses AWS. I've got pretty spectacular pricing because I'm education, and Microsoft offers education. Pretty good pricing. I'm sure there's that benefit to Microsoft. But it's been very a good relationship between us and Microsoft. Network and infrastructure improvements. Just, you've got to maintain, no matter whether you're in the cloud, if you're, I still have data center presence, I have to make sure that everything's patched. Something that I'm very proud of is this, the Department of Education was recognized as the top 10 best secure site in government in the country. And that was done by a bunch of white hats to do ratings. I don't want to tell you who in the state didn't do so well, but I'm proud that we were successful in getting that honor. And that's because of our pen testing, that we worked with ADUA to hire some really good, and every application we have, our security is rock. Now, as you know, if you don't work on security every day, tomorrow's security is a problem. And we can't have your children's data in somebody's hands that shouldn't have it. And that's what's really critical to us. So if there's no questions on that, we'll come back for the motion, as I understand. And I'll move to the next slide. So this sort of explains the FY17 student data system. And I hope you have a picture in front of you. Even then, I hope it's double sized. It's hard to explain. But on the top side of this picture is the legacy SACE. And legacy SACE, in the bottom half is, and this last year we've been running two systems in parallel. And as we transition our districts from one system to another, because how they input data, on the top system, it was batch loads. 17 batch loads was the top. That's how SACE worked, was batch loads, CSV type loads. The bottom half is API driven, web interface. Every vendor that we have in our state, there's 13 of them, had to be certified. And that took a lot of time. As those that remember my last year's briefing, I was overly ambitious, thinking that would happen really like with a wave of a wand. The vendors had difficulties. Until end of April, I got my last vendor, Infinite Campus, certified. And in fact, they've become very successful. They had 13 LEAs, and they did 9 in 6 or 7 weeks. So it's worked out. So the top side is going to go away from an external view on July 15th. Nobody will be able to interface with SACE any longer. The challenges, so you're aware of what the risk is, and we've notified and communicated with our districts. If the district is not converted to AZEDS by September 1st, they will not get a check. That's pretty significant. We are working with them hand by hand, because I know that immediately once September comes around, there'll be phone calls ringing all over the state government. But we had to draw a line, or else we keep moving the bar. And we have, and I really appreciate the support that we've been given by the superintendent, by the JLBC, and the governor's office in allowing us to do that. This last year, there was a lot of presentations by districts saying that we can't do this, and we're still standing here. I figured that I was going to get fired last year, but I'm still sitting here. Could get fired tomorrow. But we are at a very a good place. Without going through the detail of this organization, of this architecture, I have, this architecture is documented all the way down. Everything is automated. We use TFS, Team Foundation Server. Every bit, we use ITIL. Every part of our bit organization, from I told you no process, to where everything has four environments. Everything is managed through automated workflow. The bottom part uses a rules engine, so the rules are not hard-coded. So if the legislature decides to change the rules, I can change the rules, I can test the rules, and implement them within 24 hours. If I broke in the top portion of this, in SACE, if you change the rules, I broke 25 things, maybe 50 things, and I don't even know what I broke, because it was not documented. All this stuff is on our website, azed.gov/ALIS. ALIS support costs. When you build a new system of this kind of components, the complexity of it is you have to have operational staff to be able to manage. When I first mentioned cloud to my operational staff, they all thought they're being, oh, we're going to be fired. The work of managing the cloud still exists. And the managing the allocation of when it, yes, there's some batch and automated things that happen, but it still exists. And that's where we have to put manpower, because we've built some very complex components. One of them, which is not being talked about in this presentation in detail, is ADE Connect, which is our single sign-on, which is Microsoft's forefront. And our objective is ultimately to go to ADP, which is Microsoft's forefront in the cloud. Our single sign-on has required us to train 650 LAAs to be entity administrators so they can manage their roles, because the way the department used to work in our old, and that's something we still have, our old system called Common Logon, we manage security, so when people moved in districts, we never knew. Guess what? People have access to things they shouldn't have access to. What we've done is move it to the LAAs. They're responsible for, they know who their people are. I don't. And that's what our single sign-on has done. And also, the challenges we've had, as I discussed, is that we've not been able to successfully argue for the required funding, and we're going to be continuing to do that with the JLBC as we come into the next few months to determine what approach we should use for the next year's legislation cycle in order to get funding for the system. Because I would hate to see us have spent this money, and then if we don't support it in a year, it end up in bad shape. I always like to say that in the real, if you went to the outside world, best in class is 40-60. 40% is build cost, 60% is support cost over a 5-year annuity. And if that's the case, you take $32 million as build cost and you multiply what the support cost at 60%, and I'd say we're best in class, that should be the support cost over 5 years. But that's not what we've been able to do, so we work with what investment that we get. We will not squander any of the money that is invested in us, and we feel very, very honored to serve our taxpayers in the best way possible. Again, ongoing program in financial management. Without that, you don't know you're running out of money. We were able to go from a year, the year before last year, we were funded at a $12 million rate. We had to shrink to $7 million. Roughly, and as you know, that takes a lot of personnel count, and without losing morale, it was very tricky to make that change from one group down to a lower. So I'm almost, you know, appreciative of the fact that you didn't hand me a lot of funding, because then I'd have to grow again, and that's hard. I'm pretty much
hands to please.
Appreciate that, Senator. But at the same time, I've also shrunk facilities. I'm losing a floor in Central, shrinking into one spot. I have no growth capability, so there's some challenge, but I'm saving money by not being renting a floor that I don't have the capacity to fill all the way anymore. Without reading all this to you, the hardware maintenance, we do still have AZ Dash, which is our dashboards in the data center. So there is maintenance on that. Each year, software license renewals, of course, that would include all of our Microsoft licenses and our Azure licenses in the cloud. The benefit we have is we're very tight on how we spend money in the cloud. That's another savings that I'd like to brag about. So we run, as I said, 4 environments. We have dev, you have test, UAT, or pre-prod and prod. And we spin down 3 of those environments every day at 5 p.m. for all of our systems. And that way you don't pay for any costs during the night. And it will take a developer to turn them back on in order to work in it. So that was one way we looked at how we cut costs in order to manage our, and you can't do that in a real data center, and because you turn off machines, you know, but I mean, you can if you have a cloud setup, you know, but then I still have to manage servers and stuff like that. I don't want to do that. Ed 1405, and this is the next item, is opt-in state. This is pretty simple. This is a statewide information system. The vendor is EduPoint. They're out of Mesa. They're one of the largest vendors in the country. They gave us a very, very, very good deal. We priced our service at a cost that allows us, after this year, to sustain it. Not that I will be coming back and asking for continued funding. So we had to mark it up in order to have some stages. But the benefit, like I told you, I might not get the whole state on the statewide information system, but the price has been reduced by the vendors, which is a win to the state and a win to us. We planned 15 additional implementations this year. I purposely don't want to do what I did last year, 47. What I found out last year when I did 47, boy, we didn't know what we were doing. And if you ever tried to support a system you didn't know how to support, we were fortunate to have a vendor that worked very closely with us and allowed us to support people to go sit in their support center and learn. We're really good at supporting that right now. So our average ticket resolution time a year ago was 27 days. Today it's 4 days. So that tells you how much we've learned in that time. But doing 47 at once, I probably should have done 15 the first year, because and the other reason that we're not overly aggressive is that we're doing current year funding, we're implementing this system. How much do you want to put on an LEA and to stress them out? So that's what this is about. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to entertain them. Ed 14002, school finance, $740,000. This is the completion of the current year funding development. We started development last year. We deferred some funds from last year's money and moved it around in order to get it started, because we have to pay current year funding starting in September. The way we're going to do the first 2 months is the 100-day average for the first 2 months. And then once AZ Eds kicks in, which is that student load, from that forward, we will be paying them based on what actual student headcount they have, real time, which is a huge difference.
When did you think you might be able to implement that, Mark?
AZ Eds is July 1st.
And you, how confident do you feel on?
94%.
Not 93?
Not 93.
Okay.
I have MESA, my big one, MESA, as you know, is in our, it took us a long time to get them into the sandbox, Senator Shooter members. It took them a long time to get in there, but they are in our test system right now. I feel very strongly that MESA will move. I think that there is a risk that they might try to test the resolve of our government and see if we'll hold true that we don't pay past September. Before you came in and I described it, we will not pay anybody that's not on AZ past September.
Well, what I found in state government, Mark, is some of us have resolve and some don't.
I'm hoping we have enough resolve to finish this.
Yeah.
Because as you're aware, sir, they wanted us to have another year. Yeah. But when you have 83% of our districts on AZEDS today, right now I have 83%, all those people are doing two systems. For them to do another year of two systems is like punishing them, because the ones that didn't want to do it want another year. So that I'm not doing this because it's for my benefit. I'm doing it for all those LEAs that took the effort and moved us forward. I have everything pretty much scheduled for except for about 27. But I feel that they'll fall into place. Do I think that I'll go into July with MESA? Probably, but they will be done by September. I think the laggards want to finish out on SACE, and then they'll switch. The good news is AZEDS, the new system, from our conversations with those vendors and LEAs, it matches their SIS, and that's the important thing. When people say, I'm the system of record, I turn that around on them. The system of record is their student information system. We're just a copy of it, because that's what we pay them. If we audit, if the auditors audit, we audit their SIS using the reports from our, as it should be. Theirs is the accounting system of record. The LEAs seem to like to call our system of record as the system of record, which in the past, there was ways to manipulate this, and this new system, and I didn't describe that, is locked. It has to match there. So if they want to change something, they have to change it on their system. It will flow back through. Another thing that I failed to brag about, in the legacy system, SACE, end of year or end of month, is a 5-day integrity process. So integrity means validating the data, 5 days. Oh, by the way, it blue screens 5 times a day while I'm doing it. And then you do what's called aggregation after that, and that's 3 days. And so we only did that once a month, ACE and the full integrity, and then twice a week we did a small integrity for the districts. Today, in production, we run integrity, full statewide calc, every day. It takes 2.5 hours, and we run ACE every day. So every day they know their ADM, which is their balance. That is a huge accomplishment. That's what we set off to do, so the LEAs know where their balance is every day. And that's in production and running. Now, are all the rules perfect? I'm sure that we'll be arguing rules that are in this system for the next 2 years. But the fact that I have a rules engine, I can change them based on law, interpretation of law, and human work. Back to the school finance. The main part of school finance that went into production this year was ACE, aggregation and calculation, and that's running and working. We will continue to work to make sure ACE is efficient because this year they've been focused on SACE because that's how they get paid. Next year, I'm sure they're gonna say, wait a minute, my ADM is not perfect. So I'm sure they'll be tweaking as we look at ACE, but it'll be what we pay off. Any deployment of warranty support of new code, reports, and procedures will be, of course, covered. The main portion of what this money is gonna do is discovery work and business process engineering on APOR, CHAR, and budget systems. School finance had 4 main systems, but really there's like 30 little ones. Access databases, spreadsheets, it's really ugly. APOR is what we pay districts. CHAR is what we pay charters. Class site fund, CSF, and instructional improvement fund are the other two. The other two, IIF and CSF, we completed in prior years. It is new, and we'll probably have to go tweak them based on current year funding and rules that come out of legislation, but that's new code. The big monsters are APOR and CHAR, and the biggest monster is APOR. In fact, when we did current year funding this year, I was worried about that one because picture a can that's been sitting on the shelf for 40 years. It's got bumps in it, you know, and you might want to think of eating it, you know, beans or something. And, you know, that's what APOR is. It's something we don't know. There's no documentation. So it's a pretty scary animal to open. And without the funding that we would have needed to do the coding and this effort this year, we deferred the coding until next year and are doing the requirements this year, which is probably safer anyway. It's probably the best idea. Any questions on this one? Last one, Ed 1504, Arizona Education Data Standards. I might not be the last one. $3,120,000. AZED is the big daddy. And the majority of the work on this, and it is to make sure that we deploy the next version of the API 2.3. As you may not be aware of, especially, but the federal government has come out with the ESSA I'll mess it up. It's what replaces the No Child Left Behind Act. And with that comes new accountability standards. New accountability standards for our districts will require tighter controls so that parents know what districts are effective and what districts are not effective, so they can make choices on where to move their children. And the ultimate goal is that we present our universities with better qualified students. In order to do that, we anticipate newer, we're gonna have to add on to our API with new data requirements. so that we can pull that data in order to do the accountability that will be required by ESSA. Every Student Succeeds Act. I had to take me a minute to think of that acronym, but that's the acronym. So that's what we'll get done in that. The 915 is the most complex part of that. The 915 is basically an adjustment to a balance sheet. And if I was in the private world, an adjustment's usually done on the income statement, and there's an explanation to the Securities Exchange Commission and or to your investors on why you're doing that. The way we do it today is the districts input their data, and the school finance department does some magic, and it makes the 915 approved. In order to make this totally auditable, we have to go back to the source system. They have to debit the source system if they're adding students or credit, and then reload that, and then do an adjustment on the prior year. That is a complex effort, is to build that into this. It's not as complex technology-wise as it is a change management-wise, getting LEAs to understand why we're doing this and why it's not us just doing magic on our side, changing the numbers, because this, as I said, the student of record is the state, their system, not mine. And they need to adjust their system so when an auditor comes and says that we added 40 students that we didn't have, well, where'd they come from? And so that's what we're doing. ODS, I'm very proud to say that we're staying at 9 operational data stores on July 1st. You'd ask why aren't they stood up? Now they are stood up. But it's like a bus leaving the station. If I load all the data before the school year ends, then I leave students at this bus stop. I've got to wait until the full school year ends, fully load the data into the operational data store, which we're tested and ready to do. It will be fully operational by July 1st. Some of it will be operational on July 15th, but that will become our new data source for everything in our agency. Of course, I probably will have to, now I have to provide services to our customers. Services means, how do you consume the data that's in a new can? So we built a can without can opener. So we're gonna build the services so that they can move off their legacy systems to this. The services that we'd also like to futurely add, and I'm working with the Board of Regents on, is making sure that we provide services to the post-secondary institutions in order to have a two-way interchange. We're finally at the place in this journey that we can start to have that discussion, is to be able to service the post-secondary. Another thing that I'm proud of accomplishing this year, and it wasn't through, it was through a early childhood grant, we now have GOLD data, which is early childhood learning data from the time you were 2 years old, into our system. So we actually have, from the birth, ultimately to the end of K-12, hopefully we can get to post-secondary and workforce and be able to make good decisions on where we go forward. OEMS, boy, was that, it was extremely complex. In our old world, it was called enterprise. And in the ODS, it's called EdOrg. What it stands for is Organizational Entity Management System. So it's really like defining, it's your customer master. It defines everything about the customer. We had 17 copies in our building. And they weren't accurate. So what we had to do this year was build a sync between the new EdOrg and Enterprise so that we could keep Enterprise supported, so because people still consume it. Nutrition and other financial entities consume that data. And so we're gonna have to spend some time this year getting Enterprise shut down and have this as the only source. So it's another one of those. As you build a new system, you got to move all the old stuff to the new stuff. And that's what we're doing. And then, of course, the legacy migration and infrastructure. I would love to say that I could shut down my whole data center here, but I think that'd be overly ambitious. I still have 10 racks in the data center, and I'd like to cut that in half. We have created a rule in our agency that any new build goes to the cloud. I don't want to build anything anymore in a data center. So And that's when I told you how I reduced my price, because when I told my customers the price initially, they freaked out. They said, no, give me a server. But because I was able to spin down those other servers, it lowered my cost. And I was allowed to, it made it cheaper than data center. Just to give you a heads up, because this is what you'd want to see, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Reed, and the members, Senator Shooter, this really lies on your question. Where am I at today? Well, this is last week, 5/11. We're at 83% today. In fact, it's probably gone up a little bit because I had 9 implementations this week. We manage this weekly. And the EduPoint yellow is because there has been some challenges with their coding to the API. So there's some, when you code to an API, there's dependencies on what goes first. And sometimes they get them out of order. And ultimately, we were having headcount that was not existing in our data, and they were fixing it. They're very close to fixing it. Those are the tests that are in. They're testing. Mesa's testing. Queen Creek is testing. And that will wipe out that whole thing. The statewide SIS, since I'm an EduPoint customer, is the same complexity. But I'm working with EduPoint every week. I'm on the phone with the CEO and the president and their head of development. In fact, the head of development's on the phone right now with my development. Clarifying what we need to move forward. So we're holding their hands to keep them moving forward. But as you notice, our success with all the other green ones, unknown, still don't know why I have one unknown, but I'm sure come July 1st, there'll be somebody's hand that goes up, well, you didn't count me, and we'll be in an emergency mode of trying to figure out how to help them. But I'm very proud of our vendors in this state to be able, in fact, this helped the whole nation. What we've done here has been watched by the whole country. And Michigan, Illinois, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nebraska, and Kentucky, all are making their vendors move to this API that we formalized. What they don't have is our financial engine. The API was built with Ed5 money, which is the Dell and Michael and Susan Dow Foundation that we use. But the engine that we built to pay districts, all they do to use the API for is for dashboards, which was our state grant. We pay people with this. That's very interesting to other states, because every other state has the same challenge we have. A 15-year-old system, some of them are worse. They have mainframe systems, green screen, that are 30 years old. That they pay their districts with. So they're very interested in how we have accomplished this and the success. Our goal is to be able to help other states by selling our intellectual capital to other states and making a return on investment that this state will pay. Everybody wants me to give it to them for free, and I explain to them that that costs our state money and our taxpayers' money, and there's nothing that's free.
And call me.
As we transition, another transitional slide that just tells you percentage of submitting, the vendor to total. You know, it basically, we manage this daily. I get these slides every day, and I manage to the slide on where I'm at, and I ask the questions where errors are, and making sure that this is successful. If this doesn't show you the complexity of this type of transition, and I'm proud to say this is the Department of Education that 5 years ago they wanted to outsource, is not been outsourced. This is the Department of Education that did not necessarily use a prime vendor. I am the vendor. I hired vendors, yes, I hired vendors from multiple companies across the state using knowledge services, but this was built by the Department of Education with our intellectual capital, and I'm very proud of that accomplishment for this state, because I've seen, as we've seen in this state, many opportunities by vendors that have failed. And I know that you guys have been watching me closely, and I know that there was a lot of apprehension that we may fail too, but so far we've been on target. And if you'd have given me all the money that I asked for 5 years ago in the first bucket, probably would have failed. So it had been by slow rolling this, in the end it works. Frequency of submission to AZEDs. We have 113 LEAs submitting on average every 2 days. In the past, We had LEAs that never submitted until the end of the year. Our system today, for example, PowerSchool, when a transaction changes in their system, the next hour it's fed to us. So it's up to the vendor and the district's implementation to how often they send. The law says currently 20 days. Next year, I'm going to be making a run at some legislation to narrow that, because 20 days, people make mistakes, right? Where is the single point of failure on student data? The single point of failure is at registration, because we don't have chips in kits, so when you input this data wrong, it comes through the system and they're paid wrong. So if they know about it that day, they can fix it easier than if they wait 60 days to fix it, because then they forgot what happened. And that's been the challenges I've seen with SACE, is that they try to fix things at the end of the year and it's a nightmare. And then we have districts that are still trying to fix 2012 and 2013. So by doing this real time, and I can do it real time, and I can process it real time. Our response time, we measure this also. If you can see on the red lines on 4-3, was pretty bad response time. That's when I went into emergency mode that we had to scale. We had to go up two levels on Azure, and that took some negotiations with Microsoft. And but if you notice, we have lowered, and this is just 5-10, so we don't have some of the data recently. Last night I had 2.5 million transactions. We only have 1.2 million students. Notice that I'm receiving upwards of 4 million. This is a 5.4 billion transaction system a year. That's how many transactions we process. So, and I'm not going to be throwing darts at this, but this is important for me, for JLBC and the senator. APIS, freeze, charges me $1 plus per transaction in order to support it, to maintain it, keep it running, whatever the cost is of a contract for 10 years. Picture, if we're looking for a support cost model to help me so that we have support costs, it should be a transactional base. And mine would be pennies, less than pennies, tenths of pennies per transaction. We're 5.4 billion transactions. So to me, our support model that we're going to ask next year is based on transactional cost. And I think that should be easier for us to manage. And then look at, and then of course ADOA still manages the bucket, making sure that we're not making money, and so forth. But at least we have it supported, and that to me is the most critical: is that when I walk out the door, that this system is supported. Successful transmission submissions to AZENS. As you notice, as we've gotten better, the red, right? You always look at red. Red's shrunk. What we used to have, why the red was higher, is we had integrity rules that were failures. So when it ran through integrity, it failed it. We turned some of the failures, and it was around attendance. Another challenge that we're going to have to fix next year in legislature is how we do attendance in the state. It's local control. You got to have one way. We got to create a rule. What is attendance going to be? So we've created attendance as a warning so that it passed integrity, because it doesn't affect substantially. It does affect AOIs, because AOIs are paid by the minute, which is the online schools, for those that don't know what an AOI is. They get paid by the minute the student is enrolled or are working. But we've really lowered our error rates, which has been critical for our districts. And if you notice that our count of LEA submitting is upwards of 250 on a day, which is huge, considering that's almost a third of the whole state happening. Now, some of those are concurrent. I have, as we told you earlier, 532 LEAs. I think it's a 538 right now. 538 LEAs submitting every day. I would love to see that at 538 every day. But since we have a 20-day rule, that's... this slide is the migration. When we sent the letter to our districts on about March 31st, telling them they're not going to get paid September. Notice the difference in that line. And I very much support JLBCs, and the legislature's support of our organization, because I know that you were, had everybody's lobbyists sitting in your offices telling you that this is not going to work. We're making progress. Those last ones are going to be the tough ones, but we'll get them done. And we've got all our people on it. We're not just throwing the LEA to the wind and say, figure it out. We're on the phone, we're coaching them, we're working with the vendors. We're making this as simple as it can be for them. SACE to AZED's comparisons. This is the bragging slide that I did a little bit. I won't read it all to you. But LEA is submitting data to system. I have 142 LEAs submitting to SACE, and I have 518 submitting to AZEDS. The big challenge that everybody had this year is my AZEDS to SACE bridge. I had to move, since they were submitting to AZEDS, I had to move their data to SACE because that's how they get paid. AZEDS and SACE are two different animals. It's like moving pineapples and oranges and fruit salad. And into the systems are designed differently. AZEDS is transactional. SACE is batch. So we've had some difficulty in this, and we promised the LEAs we will hold them harmless as far as we're going to make sure that they get paid accurately as we end this year. AZEDS to SACE version 2 will go into production on June 3rd, which we believe will make it a lot more accurate for the LEAs. And if the LEAs still have some discrepancies, we'll work with them to make sure they get through so we can close SACE out and kill it. And we're working with the auditors and the state auditors so that they know that this year was a transition year. So if they go and ask what's happened, this is a transition year. So we've tried to do the best we can for our districts. I explained the time to run integrity. When we wrote this slide, it was 4 hours. Last night, it was less than three. ACE end of month, or that was 5 days, less than three. Time required to recalculate statewide ADM, 15 minutes. It's basically your end of day for most companies that run an end of day. That's what that would be is end of day. The ability to LEAs to audit transactional history, they couldn't in SACE. Nobody knew what was in SACE, including us. It is auditable today. Total transactions processed in the last 30 days, 31 million. Pretty big numbers. In fact, Microsoft has been very interested in how we built this system in the state, because a lot of companies have been apprehensive to moving to the cloud because they like seeing the servers still. I've been working with their CIO group at Microsoft in order to work with other corporations on how to do what we've done at scale. Of course, we have risks. And any project has risks, and we have mitigations. This is a huge project. I don't need to tell you that this is one of the biggest state investments that they have done in a few years. I mean, there's others going on, corrections and revenue, but we're still a big investment. And it's very critical that you pay attention. I appreciate this commission and the legislature in paying attention to this. Data usage patterns are changing. Until I get all 650 submitting in the same day and doing stuff, I don't know what I don't know. And so that could be a challenge. Because the problem with the vendor sells it to the LEA. The LEA may customize some of their fields in their code that don't match what the vendor thought they do. So when they come in, they fail. So that's some of the things that we're working through with a couple of vendors. We do rely on 13 vendors. We didn't go out and mandate one system because ours is a local control state, so it's difficult. And that's, if you want to know why it's taken us a year longer than last, this was supposed to be implemented last year. Couldn't get the vendors on board, but now we have. Potentially difficult technical challenges. We're bleeding edge. We're basically on Microsoft Alpha software. We're blowing things up that they never knew blew up. And for us to be at that in government, at that level of sophistication, gives you, there's good and there's bad. It's good is that I have the technical competency to be able to manage it. Bad is that I'm pushing the vendor at his limits. But I mean, as you know, the cloud is fastly evolving. The thing that I learned is there's many versions of the cloud. Microsoft continually changes it, and you got to move from version to version. So you think that it was, oh, it was just magic that it just, you know, all my stuff stays up. Now there is some transitions. And it's not any different than the old way, except that I don't have to look at servers, and I don't have to manage electricity, and I don't have to manage all the stuff that we had to manage. FY16 closed project. We closed the SEDS project. We closed the Student Longitudinal Data Services. This is DASH. I'm really excited to say that AZ Merit will be populated in our dashboards on July 15th, AZ Merit version 2. So every district, every student, every teacher, every administrator will have dashboards with their AZ Merit scores on July 15th for school to start. And using the ODS versus legacy systems. So DASH has been transitioned. ALIS opt-in teacher and learning tools. We've been really successful with our LMS. We're very close to signing a large deal with Department of Economic Security, probably close to 7,000 seats. That shows that what we've invested, you've invested in us, is gets to be leveraged by the state. And to me, that's a win-win. So that I'm pretty excited about. Organizational entity management system. We've sunset the project, but that's maintenance forever. That's your customer master. It's never perfect. It will always evolve. ALIS costs estimates for ongoing operations. Our ongoing operations cost, we expect them to be around $4 million. That's why we've asked for that. As you noticed, basically we took a little bit different number out. $1 million of this $4 million was what's called Prop 301, which the agency has, but it's running empty. Prop 301 is supposed to go until 2020, and it's winding down. So that's going to be an ongoing challenge for us next year. I won't have that money, so it's more important that I get support money. Our ALIS cost estimates for ongoing operations, again, as what we see in the future, is around $5.8 million to keep all our systems operational. And when you're estimating this, it's hard to estimate until you actually live it. And of course, as we go through this phase, I think that good audits and good visibility to what it really costs to support it will be critical to substantiate the money that is spent. Unbelievably, I just did this briefly, but it had 50 pages, so I had 21, to the state school board. It was 68 minutes long. I was there for an hour and a half, is the question. So thank you for allowing me to do this, and I am open for any questions, and moving it over to you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Why don't we circle back around to the first item, request to review. PB14002. And also this item, I'll open the floor for any questions.
There is a 2013 PIDGE that was in the packet. Has that been amended already, or what's its status as?
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bruner, we provided that for backup information for everybody, so you kind of know the history about the project. What is coming here today are the amendments. Your approval today will be the approval for the $740,000 of FY17 money for this project to continue going forward. There should have also been in the attachments another file that was the actual change request as well. So the original page and then a one pager, which is the actual change request with the details and then the finances.
Okay, got it.
Yes, that's it.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Masterson, obviously, as the state grows economically and we get more, you know, population growth in here, explain how the scale out of this model into the future as it relates to future state budgets. What is there a forecast that you can share with us as to the ongoing cost, the continuing payment back to Microsoft and Azure as this grows? I'd love to understand how that's going to grow, you know, 5 to 10 years from now.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Morgan, Senator, and Mr. Cook, is it Cook?
It's a Cook.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I can't see your name. I'm blind. Too many years in front of the computer. Very good question. I would say the best way to be honest and transparent is I need to see this year's loads on what Azure costs based on the when I get full loaded, and then I could go by what's the average student cost of that load. And so I'll know what my Azure cloud cost is based off that. The scalability, unlimited scalability.
That comes with the cost.
It comes with the cost, but it'd be a cost per student growth. Mm-hmm. And that's why I would like to discuss with the legislature and the governor's office and ADUA, I'm going to a model that is around transaction or student cost. I'm open to either or, but there's a cost per student to pay out $6 billion. If it grows to $7 billion, there's a cost to manage a system of that size. And right now, my rough on the back of my hand is between $5.50 and $6 per student per year. But I need to get more quantification of that by actually seeing this go through this production year versus a test year.
And let's say in the future, as this grows, there is another vendor that can provide, let's say, a cloud solution for you. And we looked at the possibility, if we wanted to back out of Azure and go to another vendor, what type of flexibility does the state have in going from Azure maybe to AWS? Let's say AWS comes back and says, you know, I have a sweet deal for the state, and I'd like your business, I can cut your costs in half. Going to a system that might be, let's say, proprietary, I'm just trying to figure out the flexibility that we have of being able to bounce from maybe the cloud to cloud. What's your thoughts about that?
Members, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Cook, that's a very good question. And that question is being discussed IEEE. I'll use an example, and I'm old. Back in the days of CompuServe and the first internet, AOL, you couldn't send an email from AOL to CompuServe. You had to have an account in either one. The cloud situation that we're in today is like that. You have Google, you have AWS, you have Azure. But IEEE is struggling with that same question you just asked. Is it portable? Yes. Without cost? Not necessarily. There's a lot of work that you'd have to do to move from one cloud portability to another cloud. You've just touched on what bothers a lot of corporations and big institutions. Is the fact, but the benefit I just shared with you is that I can scale where if I was confined to a server farm in my data center across the street, I would have had to order parts and my districts would have been very pissed off because the pipe would have been shut off. So the win to us, and we continually go to AWS and ask for pricing comparisons. This year we've done it again, just to see where they stand, because we want to keep our vendors honest. But I think that that's a very fair question to be answered as I present to this board each year. And as we become mature, I think the board, this kind of commission should evaluate those kind of tough questions on supportability. I believe that ADE is probably bleeding edge in the state. I'm just saying that. And we're probably bleeding edge in probably over 70% of industry right now. And I've talked with the head engineers in IEEE. And it's a tough problem, because everybody wants to, they got you, and what really, what's more complex that I would have asked was, usually you'd want to have a backup system sitting in AWS and in Azure. So if Azure goes down, you're up and running AWS. In DHL, where I used to work, that's what we had data centers around the world. So if one failed, they're always operational. Well, fortunately, Azure is spread out, only in the United States for me because of SAS 70 and rules of our data. But it's spread out, but there's still risk. That's the problem companies have, is having multiple cloud networks working, because as you noticed a couple years ago, maybe last year, Netflix had some substantial problems in AWS. And some major corporations had problems in AWS because they did go down. I've been fortunate of not to have any problems this so far, but that's a very, very valid question, but it would come with cost.
Well, again, I'd look at risk and scale out and cost to the future, or maybe the idea of architecting kind of a hybrid solution where maybe some of it could be on-prem versus, you know, some of it going out externally, right? So again, I just asked a question, because I know we have Senator Schuter and Representative Stevens here, and as they're looking at the future budgets, you know, I'd just like to ask those questions.
That's a very good question.
Aware of what the future could mean to them.
I'm aware.
Any other questions? Okay, if there are no other questions, we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, can we just hear the recommended condition before we...
Are there any conditions associated?
There are no conditions associated with ED 14002.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
You have a second, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion to approve 14002 carries. And our next one. Any questions on this item?
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Masterson, I feel like I've been on this journey with you.
You have been.
For the past several years. And so, first of all, I want to congratulate you on the progress that you've made. Come a long way. With respect to this particular amendment, you've noted that because of the lack of funding in FY17, you're going to terminate the outreach efforts to bring additional leaders on board. Can you talk a little bit about the impact of that and how critical that is to the overall program going forward?
Mr. Chairman, members, Mr. Wishon, that's a good question. And I'm not going to terminate the onboarding. What I will do is close the ask from the state to support the onboarding. I will have enough capacity to be able to onboard going forward, those that wish, at a smaller pace, but be able to onboard. The rapid change that we put through this state has caused people not to want to do anything for the, you know, it's another reason we just try to scale down. So we have to give them time to catch their breath, but I believe that we should be able to maintain an implementation of 15 to 20 LEAs moving forward each year. So as they wish. We need to keep the competitive pressure on the other 12 vendors. And by continually reaching certain caps, I lower my cost, which then I can lower their cost. But because all these vendors were successful in making this transition, the last thing I want to do is be calling vendors customers and beating on their doors saying, why don't you come over here? Because they've done a lot of work to heavy lift to get to where we are. And I think it's important that I respect that. And if the LEAs call me and say they want to move, that's a different conversation than me pushing them like I was a year ago.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I'll ask, are there any conditions associated with this?
There is. So ADOA asset recommends ED14005 approval with the following condition. The Arizona Department of Education must identify funding source, amend the pitch to reflect costs required to complete the full scope of the project, and submit this information to ADOA asset and ITAC review and approval prior to expenditure of additional funds beyond the FY 2017 APF application. That's it.
Are there any questions on the conditions?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding was that this was a reduction rather than an addition because the FY 16 budget amounts are being carried over.
Reduction in 16.
And then FY 17 is only adding 180,000 while there was 400,000 freed up. I understood there would be no math during the debates today. Yeah. So how does this, so my question is, how does staff feel that additional funding sources must be identified if the net is a reduction?
So Mr. Chairman, Mr. Berner, so basically what's going on is there were some funds that were available from FY16 funds. So there's about 400K, that 400,000 is being transferred over to the operations portion of the ALIS program. Moving forward, in order to move forward with FY17 money, which is what you're approving today, that's the 180,000 that's up here. The condition is saying anything after FY17, so when FY18 rolls around next year, that they have to make sure APF is not available for one reason or another. They have to come back and show where that funding is going to be coming from.
Okay, thank you. I didn't read beyond the FY2017 APF application. And I want to see Rebecca's score. I'm just kind of
here. I follow.
Okay, if there are any further questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I move for approval with conditions noted.
For a second. Mr. Wright. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. ED14005 carries. Last item, ED15004. Open the floor for any questions with regards to this item.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Masterson, without going into tremendous detail, it does look like just a huge increase in development cost for only extending the project length by 12 calendar months. Can you succinctly help us understand what's in this additional ask?
The most complex part of that is the decommissioning all the old applications, moving their data source to the new data source, and moving the applications to the cloud. If you picture 250 systems, will I get all 250 done? This is the part that most projects don't encompass, and this is even in the private world. They build a new system, but they don't sunset well. This is the effort to sunset legacy systems and reporting, and it's very critical that we do this because if you, ultimately our drive, I think as a state, is to provide our students an education that allows them to be successful. And having good quality data gives a teacher information in real time that allows them to react to a student's potential. And if we're looking at the real-time data, I gotta get rid of legacy and get everything onto the real-time.
Great, okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee on this? Are there any conditions associated with this?
No, ADOA asset recommends EP13004 approval with no conditions.
Okay, there are no conditions. So we want to take a motion.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second.
Second.
Important. Second set. All those in favor of approval?
Aye.
Opposed? Well, motion carries. EP15004 approved.
I'd like to thank Chairman, Mr. Reed, Senator Schutter, and all the members for listening to an hour and a half and not falling asleep. And Gordon, you get extra credit. Because you get to hear to get on Friday.
Well, thank you, Mark. We have a lot of information to go through. And I thank you, Gordon. Congratulations on getting further in progress down the triple long road. And it's impressive to see what you've achieved over the past several years.
Well, it comes with the support that I'd like to recognize the ADOA team. This has been, 4 years ago when the Senate asked if you manage this fund, I would have thought that this was not going to be as successful. It's been very successful. It's been a good teamwork. And so you can use that as an example of how agencies can work together and be successful. I think this is an example of that.
Good. That concludes our business for today. So if there are any other comments from the committee, we will call the session to a close. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see Yeah.
cards.
Over the course of 5 years, tell us what you're doing, and it thanks you, because everybody's going to resist change. You see you in nature. Everybody wants to build their own community. So, you know, it's not the way. So it was a way to get you.